When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. It is Wednesday morning, and we are just over a week away from the draft. Guy here. If you're watching on YouTube, great. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the channel. If you are listening to the podcast, great. Leave a review, 5 stars. And in that review, leave a question. And that's how you get mailbag questions in. You know, with the draft just over a week away, that's a big story. Brandon Ayuk's contract, a big story. We talked about it a little bit on Monday, Tuesday, both days, actually. And one of the tweets we referenced when we talked about it on Monday was this from Nick Wagner of ESPN, in which he reiterated something he's been reporting for a year plus, that the Niners should have no problem with Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel on the same contract, and added that Devontae Smith's contract of around $25 million a year, average annual value, and $59 million guaranteed is a pretty good starting point for an Ayuk deal. So I saw that tweet and I started DMing with Nick because he's an expert on many things Niners. And then I said, Nick, how about you come on the show? And he said, I can do that. Don't waste my time. And I said, I'll try not to. So by my count, we are entering his ninth year covering the 49ers for ESPN. And Nick Wagner joins us, all of us together here in the world on the show. Hey, Nick, 9 years. Do I have that right?
Is it nine? Is it eight? It was 2016 was my first year. I'm really bad at math.
19, 20, 21.
Yeah, there you go.
22, 23, 24. I count on my hands. This is entering year nine.
Entering year nine. Wow. Yeah, time flies. Nine on the Niners, and this will be 21 overall in the NFL.
So. And mostly on the Rams before that. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. The St. Louis version of the Rams, not the one that actually went to the playoffs and Super Bowls and things of that nature. So,
well, you've gotten two Super Bowls with the Niners. You've also gotten Chip, Kaepernick, Tom Sula, the Shanahan era. I mean,
I miss Tom Sula. I came. My first year was Chip. I had been living here for, I don't know, 2 weeks before the Kaepernick story became the biggest story in the world, which, as you can imagine, is someone on a new beat and don't have sources, don't know a lot of people, covering the biggest story in America, not just American sports, was kind of a nice welcome to the Bay Area there. So obviously an important story, but yeah, it was certainly not about football much that year. And it has been for a while now since Kyle Shanahan got here, which has been nice.
I mean, this really does feel like one of the least, the Ayuk story, every year there's something in the offseason with Kyle. It's good for content. Last year it was Deebo plus all the quarterbacks. And the quarterback story was incredible, right? The year before it was Jimmy. I guess last year was Jimmy also. It's always Jimmy. Or at least it was always Jimmy. But let's start with the Ayuk thing, because I just put, for people watching, that post up. After the Devontae Smith contract a couple days ago, the extension, which I think it's important to remind people, like, that contract starts in 2 years, right? I mean, he's making year four money, then the fifth year option money, and then the extension for Devontae Smith starts in 2026. So a little bit of a different timeline. But what did you think? We saw the tweet, the Devontae Smith deal. What does it mean? And what else? What are the other factors out there as you look at this Ayuk situation now?
Yeah, let me just take you back, guy, to last year at the owners' meetings in March. So this is the 2023 owners' meetings in Arizona. And at that time, John Lynch had kind of hinted at the idea that they had been getting you know, just people sniffing around Brandon Ayuk, just wanting to trade for him. I confirmed that with John, and then I talked to some other people, and I said, hey, what's the deal here? Are you interested? Was this something you would do? They said no. They said, we have no interest. Obviously, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. We're not in the business of trading away good players. At the time, I asked some people, I said, well, you know, realistically, there's going to be a time we're probably going to have to make a decision here, right, between Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk specifically. And I was told, yes, but that time is not now, and it may not even be next year, which would be, of course, this year. And basically, the way it was explained to me was it's really not that difficult to figure out a way to keep them both on the team under quote-unquote big money contracts. Now, the key to that being, of course, that one person would be playing under a actual big money salary cap number-wise, in this case, Deebo Samuel, and the other person would be playing under a big money contract but doesn't have big cap numbers. And so that would be Brandon Ayuk. If you were to sign him this year, this offseason, as the Niners hope to do, you could theoretically structure it in a way that his cap number this year would actually be reduced. I think that's what would be the expectation from the $14 million plus number that comes with the fifth-year option. And then next year, maybe it would be closer to that 14 or 15, but it still wouldn't be that high. And then at that point, one of those guys, probably Deebo Samuel, would no longer be on the roster, especially at the current cap numbers that are projected for him. And the Niners do have an eject button on Samuel after this season where it's more palatable to do it, and they would realize cap savings. So a lot of the discussion about Brandon Ayuk has been focused on the Niners can't afford him, and that's just flat out not true. Like, Kyle Shanahan has said on the record, and after, I think it was after last year when they signed Bosa, we would like to do one of these with our own guys every offseason. So, which has basically been what they've done. You could go back to George Kittle, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel. They have done a big money deal with one of their own homegrown stars every offseason, and they've all played out in a similar way. Now, the wide receiver with Deebo Samuel, that was the most dramatic of them, which is probably what you would expect given the position. And again, I think we're finding ourselves in a similar situation to that once more. So fast forward to this week, Devontae Smith signs the deal. I think you're going to see that. You just mentioned it, Guy. In their case, it's a little different because they had a little bit more team control. But for the next 2 years, he's not going to cost them a whole lot of money, certainly not $25 million a year, even though that's what the extension says. By the time that money kicks in, there's a good chance A.J. Brown's not going to be there anymore, or at least not making that kind of money. So it is possible to do it if the guys are spaced out well enough so that you can use mechanisms like this to make it work. And so I look at the $25 million. I look at Devontae Smith's production. I look at Brandon Ayuk's production. If you look over the last 3 years, which is the only time we have to go on, at least in Smith's case, it's about the same, almost exactly the same. The biggest difference is Brandon Ayuk has been far more efficient. He has been, last year at 18 yards a catch, and especially since Purdy took over, his efficiency numbers have been off the charts. Devontae Smith has had to be a little bit more high volume in terms of targets and catches to get his numbers, but the numbers are about the same. And you split hairs all you want and argue, would Brandon Ayuk do bigger numbers somewhere else? Would Devontae Smith do similar numbers in terms of efficiency if he was in the Niners? There's all kinds of ways you can dice that up. But nonetheless, I think it's a pretty fair comparison, and it's especially fair comparison when you look at what's around these guys. And so when I say this $25 million a year, I also look at what would be the franchise tag numbers, right? And so this year, the franchise tag number for a wide receiver, I think, was just under $22 million a year. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that. And over the cap projects it to be around 24 next offseason, which is when the Niners would have to start discussions with Ayuk if they were to tag him, obviously, if they didn't get him signed to an extension this year. So you kind of use that as your base, right? That 24 plus as like, this is the floor probably of what we're going to have to negotiate if we want to keep this guy. So 25 adds a little to that. I think what you're seeing too is you're going to see all these big name receivers, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, guys who are really the fulcrums of their offense, who are going to get paid $27, $28, $29 million a year. I'm not sure anyone's going to surpass Tyreek. Maybe Jefferson does. But I think you probably find that window where you have Smith on the bottom and you have those guys at the top, and Ayuk is probably going to come in somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, you know, and for those people watching, I'm putting some of the salaries up on the screen. But the one thing if the Niners could do whatever they wanted, I wonder, Nick, is why not, if you can, and maybe Ayuk would not play ball with this, but to me, there is a value in waiting a year to extend him if you can play him on his fifth year option without the extension yet this year. Do you really need to reduce his cap number in 2024? Like, isn't it more valuable to wait a year to do the deal? And then in 2025, maybe a year before, or we'll see what they do with Brock, you know, really stretch out kind of where that number is with Ayuk. And then it gives you more flexibility next year. Do you think that's on the table for them?
I think you answered your own question. I don't think Brandon Ayuk would. I think we're already seeing signs of unhappiness from Brandon Ayuk.
What's he going to do? Guys always threaten to hold. No one ever misses games. Hardly Le'Veon did it, but you know, Emmett, everyone's like, "Well, Emmett did it." Yeah, I mean,
and it's true. It is true. I mean, you're right. The Niners have a fair amount of leverage in this. I also think that you're walking a bit of a tightrope because this is already a star-filled locker room, and they're in a situation where the window, at least for this nucleus of guys, is shrinking by the day, right? Like, yeah. I think we would all sit here and agree that next year is probably the last season that this nucleus of guys is going to be together, and they've already subtracted from that a little bit with Eric Armstead.
Next year
meaning 2024. Season. Yeah, this coming season, 2024. So I don't like to think that far ahead. I haven't even had vacation yet, guys. So let's we're saying next year.
I'm looking at the calendar. I don't see when you're going to get vacation, Nick. I see. Yeah.
We got summertime coming, but they've already had to subtract from that nucleus, right, with Eric Armstead. So you're in that situation now where I think it's a really delicate thing where you don't want to upset the apple cart too. I think all these guys are pretty tight and respect each other. I don't disagree with your point. I just think that you would be pouring kerosene on an already lit fire in that kind of sense if you were to try to push that approach. Now, if you can't get something done, then maybe you have to explore that as kind of a nuclear option. But you know, what I have always said about the Brandon Ayuk thing for the better part of the last year is I think the 49ers want to keep him. I don't think that's lip service. I think they probably will keep him. The two things that I think could throw that into flux are one, and these things are probably kind of inherently tied together. One, he demands more money than the 49ers are willing to pay. I call it the puke point, right? What is that point where you just can't stomach what the price tag is anymore? I think they got there with DeForest Buckner. That's the example that people always want to use when they say, well, the Niners haven't done it with everybody because they let a great player go. But the problem with Buckner was, A, his price did hit that puke point, but it hit its puke point specifically as it pertained to their ability to keep other guys or inability to keep other guys had they done that. In this situation, there isn't really one of those things. But we can't rule out that Brandon Ayuk will ask for more money than the 49ers are just simply willing to pay him. So that's part of it. The other part of it is if someone does make a big trade offer that the Niners can't say no to, then they have to consider it. They say it all the time, and they say it jokingly, that they, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would trade each other if they were to get a good enough offer. And so I think that possibility exists, and that's why when I see reports of, well, the Steelers are really interested in him, I'm sure they are. I'm sure there's other teams that are really interested in him. But they're only interested in him to the point of a certain trade offer, and clearly it's not a trade offer that is knocking the Niners' socks off, which is quite frankly what it's going to take for them to do such a deal.
Yeah, I mean, they got a first-round pick for DeForest Buckner, right? I mean, that's – yeah, that's
a pretty high first round pick. You know, it was in the top 15. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. What do you make of all of that side of the last month of like who's interested? What are they willing to pay? Is it Ayuk's agent trying to drum it up? It does, because it feels, Nick, like given what the agent Ryan Williams tweeted the other day, given what Ayuk has said, given that he's at the Niners facility, unlike CeeDee Lamb, who wants a new contract, unlike Justin Jefferson, who wants a new contract, it feels like a pretty transparent situation right now between the, like, it feels like Ryan Williams knows exactly what's on the table. John Lynch knows what Brandon wants. Brandon knows what the Niners are saying. It feels like it's a pretty good little situation they got going. This does not feel like someone's about to get traded, right?
I agree. It feels less contentious than the Debo thing, which it, I guess is part and parcel of the deal when Ayuk has not demanded a trade or requested a trade, and yeah. Debo Samuel had done that. And I wonder, you know, Debo and Ayuk are close. I wonder if there, I'm sure there have been discussions on like, hey, how do you handle this? Are there things that you are happy that you did that helped apply pressure to the 49ers? Are there things that you wish you hadn't done? I think Debo in an honest moment would say he wishes he hadn't requested the trade, but I think some of the other stuff he stands by, because he, you know, he always stands by a lot of things he says and does. And so I think that would be part of this here, where it's like, you know, and Brandon Ayuk has said it, right? He said it in that, I think it was a podcast he was on with Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharpe, where he was just trying to apply a little pressure to the Niners, yeah, right? Yeah. And I think you don't
He's a bad
guy. right. You can't be quite as transparent about it when you do those things. But I do think that's part of it. I think he's openly telling you that this is what he's doing. I also think from his point of view, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the Niners to do it sooner than the July, August thing. Yeah. You know, last year, I'd say the least contentious of the contract negotiations, just in terms of publicly what was known about it, was the Bosa deal. It's also the one that took the longest. It's also the one that lingered almost into the regular season, and then he signs right before the season starts. So I think there's two things they do there. One, you get it done, and you can put this, you know, all the noise and crap that's said about this, where you've got fake reporters making up trades that have been offered or not offered or whatever every day on Twitter, and you put that away. But also, more importantly, you can get yourself in a situation where you have some certainty with what you have, because Debo Samuel is, you know, there's going to be a discussion to be had about whether he's going to be around next year. There's Juwan Jennings is going to be an unrestricted free agent. You can start figuring these things out offensively. But more important than all of that, you get him signed now, and before CeeDee Lamb gets paid, before Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, you know, if T. Higgins gets a big deal somewhere, you can do that and still put Ayuk ahead of a guy like Devontae Smith and say, hey, this is how much we believe in you, but also make sure that you're not, negotiating in a window where something crazy happens and Justin Jefferson gets 32 or something like that, which I don't think is going to happen, but maybe it does. If that happens, then what's to stop Brandon Ayuk from saying, I want 28 or 29, you know, like that. So you kind of give yourself some cost certainty in that way. That's part of why Philadelphia likes doing what they do and signing these guys so early, because you could argue that they're, you know, ahead of the game, at least in the sense of they're paying a guy now, knowing that the price later on is only going to be higher.
So before I move on to a couple of things, it sounds like you think the number's around 26. Average value for,
I think that makes sense. 26 and a half, maybe something like that. I think that's probably about right. And, you know, I think a lot of people would look at that and say, that's a lot of money. It's also just the money for a number one receiver, which frankly is what Brandon Ayuk is. And also I think that you look at it right now, it's a little harder to stomach that just that, that high of a number, just because you look at and say, well, he's not the number one option in the offense, I'm saying, because Christian McCaffrey is that. And then you could argue that Debo is as much of an option. So he's maybe a 2B, 2A, 2B, George Kittle's right there. There's all these guys who say, well, if we pay one, you know. But the reality is that those other guys aren't necessarily guaranteed to be here that much longer. And so it's just like the draft, where you can't just have these discussions in a vacuum of 2024, you have to be thinking long term. And I've made the point, and I know others have too, that he and Brock Purdy clearly have great chemistry. I think that those numbers would only go up as some of these guys probably move on in their careers. And giving Brock that, it makes paying Brock Purdy next year easier if you have Brandon Ayuk, knowing that that's going to be the guy that he's got a rapport with, got a relationship with, and they've had success.
Yeah. I think it's a great point to go back to what you said about Bosa. Like, unlike Debo, Bosa was the guy that everybody was not worried about. We better get him in, right? Because we got to get him in shape. And he still said all of that affected, you know, his sack number. I know there was a big debate because, like, all the pressure numbers are good, but the sack numbers weren't there. And then he admitted that it affected his play. So, you know, was Bosa, did Bosa attend phase? Do you remember, did Bosa attend this part of last year?
He did not. Bosa showed up at the mandatory mini camp. He did not participate, but he was there.
Right.
And I only remember that specifically because I remember seeing him and Javon Hargrave standing off to the side together during one of the practices that was open. So, yeah.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. ButcherBox.com/ham and another special deal. Free for a year. You get salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips in every order for a year, plus an additional $20 off right now at ButcherBox.com/ham. Been telling you about it for years. Been eating it. 4 years on a regular basis. Easily find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork raised crate-free and wild-caught seafood. Always be prepared with meat in the freezer when you get butcherbox.com/ham delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping. ButcherBox is offering you free for a year plus an additional $20 off either salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips in every order for free. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ham and use the code HAM to choose your free offer for a year plus get $20 off your first order.
What's up, everybody? It's your old friend, John Middlecoff. I'm here to tell you about our friends at Game Time. Here's what I need you to do. Go to your smartphone, download a little app called Game Time. Baseball season's in full swing. Oracle Park. Been there a million times. Never doesn't live up to the hype. Go get yourself some garlic fries, a brewski, maybe some ice cream. They have very good Ghirardelli ice cream there. And when you do that, promo code HAM. So download the Game Time app, your first pair of tickets, promo code HAM, H-A-M, save $20. The A's only going to be in the Bay Area for the rest of this season. You probably can basically go for free. Just buy a pair of tickets to any baseball game. They also have comedy shows if you want to check one of those out, or concerts. Game Time app, promo code HAM, save yourself $20. We don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to just take a sidebar on something you just said, because I talked about this on Sunday morning when the Aiyuk, what I've been calling, somebody claimed something on the internet about Aiyuk. And you're a reporter. You went to a great, maybe you guys would argue the best journalism school in America, right? There's some debate. The ASU people, maybe
is there? Oh.
Missouri. Okay, maybe there's not debate. But and I talked about this on Sunday, and I've talked about it before. Like, it's not other people's jobs who are sports fans and have other jobs to necessarily know the difference. I think it's the media's job to help people understand what is a report and what is a claim. What is somebody saying something they hear? Like the Jags thing a month ago was somebody throwing out a hypothetical. Now that one got a little complicated, but like there's a difference between a report and here's something that could happen or here's something that's being discussed. So like from your perspective, I don't want to talk down to anybody, but like,
yeah,
when you report something, what is required by ESPN for you to say on TV or in an article or on Twitter, here's what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just as simple as, have I heard it from multiple people who are reliable sources on this subject? So in this case, you know, you would want to hear it from someone in the building who is, you know, clued into these types of talks. You would want to hear it from someone close to Aiyuk's camp who is clued in on these talks. Ideally, you could get more than that, but if you have at least both of those things, that would be what you would want to know. And to your point, guy, here's the thing. I want to be really clear about this. I think it's awesome that there are things like YouTube and Twitter and things like that where fans can exchange ideas and opinions and have podcasts and shows and all that. I think it's great. I love it. I would love to have that available to me before I got into this business. The problem is when the line gets blurred and someone is trying to present themselves as someone who is clued into things. And I'm not saying that person doesn't talk to people. Maybe they do, but they don't have a rigorous standard that they have to be held up to. And that's the real difference. And that's why, you know, there's so much rush to be first in this business a lot of times. But you know, I think what has happened is there's other people, and they don't even care about being first. They want to throw something at the wall, and if it sticks, hang their hat on that, right? It almost becomes like a hat rack that they're trying to throw to the wall and hope it sticks, because they can then say, well, come consume my content, come to Twitter and get X amount of, you know, impressions or whatever it is that gets you the $8 check from Elon or whatever it is. I you know, like that's the stuff that is it's becoming increasingly common. And I don't even know that it's the individual's fault. I think it's just kind of the platform, the way that has evolved over time. But I do think that it is important for people to try to know. And it is hard, because the average fan that isn't on Twitter, which is most of the average fans, right? Like, they're not on Twitter. They will hear something and be really confused. I mean, I have people in my life who have asked me about stuff, people who I'm, you know, like my girlfriend's family, who asked me about things.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, where did you hear that? And like, oh, you know, it was making the rounds on Twitter or something. It's like, oh, like, so, and that's fine. Again, it doesn't really bother me. I'm not going to make a, for me personally, it's just, I'm not going to spend my time trying to shoot down everything that gets said in the Twitterverse. But I do think it's important for people to know where to go to hear kind of informed, even if it is more speculative, informed speculation or actual reporting.
My thing after the Sunday thing with Aiyuk was I'm fine with, like, I'm on YouTube. I've said it many times. Like, I'm not a reporter. I don't pretend to be. In the sense that, like, I make it very clear if I'm going to say something that I quote unquote heard, that it is different than the other stuff that I say. Right.
Yeah, sure.
But there's a response. You have a responsibility to, like, be clear about, yes, this is something, that I feel like I'm saying that's reliable. I just want people to know the difference between a claim and a report. That's it. Like, yeah, I have no problem. Yeah. Like, the claims are fun too, right? But like,
when absolutely.
Let's not call report Aiyuk has demanded a trade. Let's just call it a claim. Somebody's claiming they heard, maybe.
Right. I'm sure people like Ryan Williams, like Brandon Ayuk's agent, doesn't love that he has to go on Twitter and do that and shut it down. Like, you know, like that's, it's making his, he's got actual like multi-billion dollar contracts to negotiate, and he's getting inundated with the same kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of different angles to it, obviously, but I guess it's just kind of the new reality that we live in here.
All right, let's talk about a couple of things, some big, some not. Trent Taylor, Niners signed him. Is he making this team?
I think he's got a chance. His ticket is special teams. I think if nothing else, they wanted to give themselves an option of someone that they can trust as a returner, and especially as a punt returner. Because the only guy on the roster right now that has a lot of experience doing that for the Niners is Ronnie Bell, who I would say the trust in him probably wavered last year. Just quite frankly, he had a number of hiccups and obviously toward the end lost out on that role. And so I think they just know what they're getting in Trent Taylor. I don't know that he makes the team. I also think it would be foolish for the Niners to go in to next season thinking he's definitely making the team and he's definitely our returner. Yeah. I would like to see them address that in the draft, especially because the return position, particularly kickoff return, is going to have more value and going to be something that plays a little bit bigger role in the way things go. So I think for the Niners, it's an option. I don't think it's going to be the end all. I would imagine if we were to have this conversation 2 weeks from today, there will be at least someone else in the building, if not multiple other people in the building, who can compete for that role.
All right. Let me get this. Here we go. Niners have pick 31 a week from Thursday. What do you think they do?
So I wrote about this today a little bit. I think this draft is really important for the 49ers. I don't want to overstate it and make it seem like it's like do or die for them, obviously, because this is still a really good roster that's ready to compete in 2024. But I think so much of the conversation around the draft has become a kind of an echo chamber where everybody's only worried about the next season, right? They're only worried about 2024. And the draft can't and shouldn't be that. It should be, what does this hold? How does this play into our future? And if you look at the 49ers over the last 2 years, they've gotten very little production from their draft classes. Part of that, to be fair, part of that is there frankly just hasn't been starting spots available for those guys to play a lot of snaps. So you have to account for that. But the other part of that is they haven't had really high picks where they're able to get kind of immediate starters and or contributors because of some of the trades they made. And that's fine because they were all in and trying to go for that. But they have become a very top-heavy roster where you look at the number of players they have that rank. It's in this article here. If you scroll down a little bit, there's a list of guys who rank, I think it's in the top 12 of their positions in terms of salary cap numbers for next year and the amount of money they make in the league. And the 49ers, they showed you that they're shifting a little bit this offseason by how they approached free agency, right, guys? So they're no longer – it wasn't one or two big swings like it was last year with Javon Hargrave. It was – let's rebuild the middle class of the roster a little bit. So guys who are making $5, $6, $7, $8 million a year, there's a few more of those guys who are added to the mix. And then you go to the draft and you say, they need to find guys who can become the next version of the guys that we're talking about, the next Brandon Ayuk, the next Nick Bosa, the next Fred Warner, the guys who will 4 years from now earn a lucrative contract extension. Because what's happening is I talked about the kind of the end of the run for this nucleus, right, of guys. They're starting to transition into that next nucleus. And I think we look at Brandon Ayuk as one of those guys. I think Brock Purdy is one of those guys. Bosa and Warner will carry over because they came in at a point and they're young enough that I think they have enough still left in the tank that they can be part of that. But who are going to be the other guys that fit into that group? And so in a perfect world, whoever they take at 31 or if they move up or if they move down – would be someone who would fit into that group. And so that's why when people say we need that, you know, the 49ers need to get an offensive lineman no matter what, it's like, well, that sounds great, but are you going to draft someone who could come in and help a little bit? Or are you looking for somebody who can be part of that nucleus, who can be that just the best player on the board, no matter what position is? And that's why I think when you look at this draft, I think there's some offensive linemen out there who do make sense here. I'm not sure that any of them that they could get at 31 would qualify as like this is a long-term solution. Maybe. Certainly the Niners know better than anybody that you can get those guys later in the first round. but ideally they could. The other part of that is this is a good wide receiver class. And so you're like I said, you're looking beyond 2024. You go into 2025. As we sit here right now, there's a question mark over Deebo Samuel. There's a question mark over Juwan Jennings. There's a question mark over Brandon Ayuk. That's for 2025. I would argue that out of those three, the most likely to be on the roster, this may sound crazy, is Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But I you know, even if that's the case, you're going to still need to address those other spots. And so if you're the 49ers, I think they need to be open to just about everything here. Who is the best player on this that will be available at 31? And I know that's not like breaking and ground analysis. They're saying they need to draft best player available.
But it's not how they draft, Nick. Right.
It's not. And it's not how a lot of people draft. And it's not how fans want them to draft. They want the shiny. Like, I had this conversation the other day with someone in the league about the Jets, because I'm just fascinated by the discussion about that 10th pick, where the Jets are in a prime position to finally get a top offensive lineman. They need it, right? It was the thing we heard all last year. This offensive line, Zach Wilson's not very good, but imagine if he had any kind of offensive line, he'd be better than this. And they want to take a tight end. A lot of people want to take a tight end because 2024, right? And that's nothing against Brock Bowers, but they have Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses, both of whom are in their 30s. Tyron Smith is barely on the field. And you're just going to count on those guys. And even if they get you through this year, are you going to be in position to get, at worst, probably the second best offensive tackle in a really good offensive tackle draft? So I say all that to say, like, I know people don't want to hear it, but like, there is a world in which a defensive lineman is the best thing available at number 31 for the 49ers. And so I'm partial to Darius Robinson. I'm not going to deny that. I watched him play a lot at Missouri. He's a really good player. I think there's some Eric Armstead to him. If you want to start looking that way, I think Johnny Newton from Illinois would be an intriguing guy at that point. I also think that, you know, if you look at these offensive linemen, you know, Jordan Morgan, for example, from Arizona, who I know you've seen guy, like, I think he's a really good player. I think he'd be a really good fit for the 49ers. Is he a guard? Is he a tackle? I think he could probably do both. I don't think he's necessarily a left tackle in the NFL, but maybe he is. I think the 49ers' dream scenario would be an offensive tackle who can step in at right tackle right away, would give them the flexibility to have Colt McKivitz at least push for a guard spot, and then be your long-term answer at left tackle. I just don't know that you're getting that guy at 31. As good as this offensive tackle is, I don't know that you're getting that guy at 31. So then you have to have those conversations of, well, do we want the seventh or eighth best offensive tackle who may not be able to help us right away? Or do we want to get a guy who can help us right away? Because if there's one team that it's probably okay for them to think a little bit more 2024 focused, it's the 49ers, based on the fact that they need production, they need cheap, cost control production from these guys right away to help kind of replenish the back end of that roster. So
I love receiver, not as an Ayuk replacement, but for what you just said. But where it gets complicated is you do need help to win the Super Bowl in 2024. Yeah. And you have Deebo, Ayuk, Jennings, McCaffrey, right? There's your Kittle. There's your targets. So the Ray McCloud guy in the order gets like, I mean, I think Jennings had like 18 catches last year, right? So if you're planning for the future at receiver, great. Especially if you nail the pick, fantastic. Put him next to Ayuk next year, and he's the Deebo replacement. But he's not helping you. There's a lot. I shouldn't say he's not. Somebody gets hurt, but he may not help you right away. Okay, so then we go to tackle. Okay, you draft Jordan Morgan. Maybe he's a tackle. Maybe he's a guard. Are you rotating him the way you're rotating right guard to the last? Is he helping you win in 24? Do you draft a linebacker? Do you draft a corner? Like, tell me, those are the four positions where you go.
Yeah.
Any one of those four positions makes sense. I think lineman, linebacker, and corner are most likely to help you this year try and win a championship. Do you agree with, am I missing a position? Would you not put one of those positions on that list?
I mean, I agree with those positions. I think safety is an interesting discussion just because you don't know exactly what you're getting with Hufanga coming off of the injury. But also, again, a lot of this discussion is planning for beyond this year because Hufanga is a free agent after this season. Aaron Banks is a free agent after this season. So that's another conversation. You want to talk about offensive line? You could sit there and say, and I've had these conversations with people at the Rams. They've traded away way more first round picks than anybody. This is the first time they've had a first round pick since I was covering the team. That's how long ago it was. I was covering the team when they drafted Jared Goff in the first round, right? So that's how long ago it was.
Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher. That's right.
McVay's never had a first round pick.
That's right. So this is the first time they've done it forever. But I remember having this conversation. And we were talking about their willingness to trade away all those first round picks. And as it was explained to me, and I think this would apply to the 49ers as well, is they believe that they had gotten the roster to a point where it was good enough where most of those first round picks were going to be late in the first round. Now, they obviously had the one drop off year where they gave away a really high pick. But overall, it mostly has been pretty high picks. And then the conversations that you're having is more about positional value than it is anything. So would you rather have Jalen Ramsey, let's say, or would you rather have two picks at the end of the first round that are going to be, let's say they're 27 and 30, just throwing out random numbers toward the end of the first round. And then the conversation becomes, what are you getting with those picks? And the answer is always either like the seventh or eighth best player at a premium position. So edge rusher or offensive tackle or wide receiver, or the best safety or the best guard or the second best safety or the best second best guard. And the answer they came, the conclusion they came to was, is we'd rather have the proven commodity at a premium position in Jalen Ramsey. And I think that's the 49ers are going to have to sit down and make, and not saying they're going to trade the pick for a player necessarily. I'm just saying one of the discussions that they're going to have is like, would we rather have the seventh or eighth best offensive tackle, or we could have the first or second best guard. So it could be the Oregon kid. It could be, it could be the Duke kid if he falls. I know people think he could play tackle too. I really like that guy, by the way. I think he'd be a great fit for the 49ers. Grant Barton. But those discussions are all part and parcel of this that I think make it really fascinating, because there's a lot of different ways they can go. And I think it's possible you see a trade up in the situation like they did with Brandon Ayuk, where it's like, hey, there's a guy, maybe a tackle who is falling that we do think could be one of those, for lack of a better term, nucleus guys long-term that they keep around. But if it's not that guy, if it's not a guy like that, they shouldn't make that move in my opinion.
We saw John Lynch and Chris Forster, the offensive line coach, at a Washington Husky practice the other day. Troy Fatanu is viewed as a guy you'd have to trade up for. Roger Rosengarten is a guy in the second round. They also have Braylon Trice, who's probably a second round pass rusher, edge rusher.
Yeah.
I thought it was
Jalen McMillan's interesting.
Jalen Polk.
Yeah.
Right. Jalen Polk's the other one. They got two receivers. Jalen Polk. I saw Schrager just mocked him to the Chiefs at 32 in his mock draft. And he's a guy that blocks. So I thought it was interesting that Forster was there. The way this works is you go to a practice, the team puts a hoodie on you so they can take a picture and put it on their social site for recruiting, right? Like John Lynch and Chris Forster, they didn't forget their sweatshirts when they flew to Seattle, right?
Right.
Like that, my point is that photo was taken to be public. The Niners did not get like, they weren't sneaking up there to look at offensive linemen. And then everyone found out. So it did make me wonder, like, do they want people to see them up there looking with Chris Forster, make people think they're looking O-line, they're going to go another direction? I don't know. Because it feels like everybody thinks they're going offensive line. And maybe they are. But it does feel like a draft where, to your point, there's basically going to be like 13 quarterbacks and offensive linemen get drafted in this first round. So yeah, half of the draft is going to be every other position, right?
And maybe six receivers, right? I mean, seven. I mean, that's the thing. It could take up the vast majority of it. Could just be those three positions. And so I think there's probably a good chance that someone who is higher on the board at another position slips to them, right? Like, that's why I say you can't rule out defensive line. And I know, again, I understand why people don't want to hear that, but you have to go off the track record too of what they want to do. But maybe it's a corner, maybe there's one of those top corners that slips down a little bit further. Because you talk about a position you need to plan for the future, the immediate future. I mean, they need a nickel, or they need someone who can play outside and allow Lenore to play nickel exclusively or more exclusively. They need someone like that immediately. But after next year, Lenore is a free agent. Ambry Thomas is a free agent. And Charvarius Ward is a free agent. So you got to find somebody who can fill one of those roles long-term as well. And so maybe that's where kind of need meets value, and there's a corner there. But there's so many different ways they can go here. This is a really important draft. The only thing that would surprise me, honestly, Guy, is if we go through another draft this year and they don't draft at least one offensive lineman, multiple. But, you know, last year everyone was surprised because they, including myself, that they didn't at least take one. I don't think that's going to happen again this year. And I think it'll happen in the first 2 days.
Last question for me, and then I think, and then I'll hit a few viewer questions. Justin Simmons, his name comes up a lot. You know, you mentioned last year's draft. It felt like maybe Jair Brown was supposed to be the Hufanga replacement. Maybe they'll play together this year. And maybe he'll become that guy. You'd like a little more immediate impact if he's about to be that guy. So Justin Simmons is a guy that Niner fans ask me a lot about. Maybe at this point it feels like he's a post-draft, you know, conclusion.
And that's from talking to people, that's my read on it, is that he's going to kind of wait and see how things unfold. If there's a spot that's open somewhere that doesn't get filled by a draft pick, that he can go in and feel comfortable and still get a decent chunk of money. Because my impression is he's not going to just sign something super cheap just to keep hanging on and keep playing. But he's still a good player. You know, he's maybe not the guy he used to be, but he's still a good player. And so I have no doubt that he's going to find a home. And some of these guys too, it's, you know, they don't, once they get to a certain point in their career, they don't mind not doing all of the off-season stuff, not having to worry about, even though they're voluntary, not having to worry about mini camps and all that kind of stuff. So, right.
All right. You got time for a few questions from people?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Keeping the Faith asks, have the Niners shown any interest in Cooper DeJean? DeJean.
I know they have kicked the tires on a lot of defensive backs. John Lynch will tell you that they want to draft one, at least one every year. And they have been pretty consistent with that. They haven't done it in the first round though. And I believe, when's the last time the Niners took a DB in the first round, guy? It's been a long time, right?
I can tell you,
I feel like it's been even like, not just Shanahan Lynch, but like well before too.
Like
2000s, you know, something.
Jimmy Ward.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
But Jimmy, I mean, it's not a corner. Right. I mean, did you say corner or DB?
Corner. Yeah, corner more so than anything. But yeah.
Jimmy Ward, Eric Reed. But in terms of a corner.
Yeah, corner. It's been a long time.
I'm scrolling.
It's been a long time. Well, this regime has
Mike done. Mike Rumpf.
There you go. So 2002. So this regime in particular hasn't shown any willingness to take a corner specifically in the first round, but any DBs in the first round, and the Niners as a whole with corners, it hasn't happened a lot. So I think he'd be an intriguing fit, because I think he does give you some of that positional versatility where you could just find where he fits the best. I also am not sure he's going to make it to 31.
Okay. Interesting. I do think somebody asked which safety fits the system better, Tyler Newbin from Minnesota or Javon Bullard from Georgia. I think it's a good safety draft. I don't know if you have a take on that, but I think it's a pretty interesting safety draft. There's a lot of safeties out there that I like, some of them from the Pac-12, some of them not. Would that be crazy for them to go safety in the first round? And I don't know if you have a take on Newbin or Bullard.
I'd be really surprised. I'd be really surprised if they went that way. Just to be totally transparent, I haven't dove that deep into these guys that are mentioned here. But I do think they will take a safety at some point. I'm not sure how early it would be. But again, I think the conversation we need to be having is about who are the guys that could long term be starters. And what they hope to be stars, you know, that, and that's the thing, just to kind of circle back on this point too, guy, I think if you look at the way the Rams and the Niners built their rosters out, it's pretty similar, right? Like in terms of chasing the star power, you know, they got top heavy a little bit and pushed on guys. The biggest difference to me was the 49ers built a lot of their star power and became top heavy with guys who they drafted. And the Rams didn't do that as much. You had Cooper Kupp, you had Aaron Donald, but a lot of those other stars that they had on their roster were traded for. But that's the thing the Niners did so well, was they weren't just drafting starters, because the Rams were getting starters in the draft in third, fourth, fifth round. But they weren't getting stars, with the exception of, like I said, Cooper Kupp and Aaron Donald. And now I think they are starting to find some of those guys, Puka Nacua being one of them. Yeah. You know, the running back is really good. They've got another – Ernest Jones is a really good player. But that was what the Niners did, and they got to get back to that, because if Kyle Shanahan wants to continue to pay one of his own guys big money every offseason, after Purdy, as we sit here right now, I don't know who the next in line would be. So they need to start getting that pipeline going again.
Dale asked, is there a realistic possibility the Niners trading back
Yeah, let's just complete the circle here since I said there's a discussion of them trading. So I'll give you, they could either stay put, they could trade up, or they could trade back. How's that for analysis for you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there
no,
you go.
No, but I know to answer the question honestly, like, sure, because the other thing that doesn't get talked about a lot is 32 guys get drafted in the first round, but most of these teams will have 18 first round grades on guys, you know, like they don't have 32 guys that they think are first round players. Now, if you talk to people about next year's draft class, they say there might be more than ever because of COVID, the way COVID has shook out that next year's draft class, they feel like is going to be extra loaded relative to this one, just not at quarterback, which is what everyone always talks about. But nonetheless, let's say the Niners have 18 guys, which would be about a normal number between 17 and 20, somewhere in there. And all those guys are gone by the time they pick. Sure. And if it's the kid from Washington, Rosengarten, if he, did I say that right?
Yeah.
If that's the guy they really like and they feel like it's a little too rich for their blood at 31, you move back into this, you know, 10th pick of the second round or something like that. And you take him. And so I think there's always that possibility. The other thing that you're ripe for at 31 is if one of those quarterbacks, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, slips down late into the rounds and you get a team like the Raiders hasn't taken a quarterback yet, or the Broncos haven't taken a quarterback, somebody who's got a relatively high second round pick. It's not a huge move, but it would have to give up like a third or an early fourth and something else to move up. That puts you in a prime position to do that as well. We've seen the 49ers do it the other way, you know, with Reuben Foster moving up to take him that year. But that's always a possibility, particularly when it comes to quarterback, because it just gives you that fifth year option, especially if a guy's not going to start in year one. It gives you that kind of guaranteed way to look at a guy a little bit longer than you would otherwise.
I just think of, when you ask how to say Rosengarten, I just think of the movie Rookie of the Year.
Well, so do I. I know. I made all those jokes about Purdy last year too. Like, oh, is his arm going to come back where he's throwing like, 150 miles an hour because of the surgery that he had or whatever. So,
I mean, yeah, it's possible.
I think that's what I was scared I was going to say, guy, when I said, did I say that right?
Rosengarten. Andrew asks, how do you see the NFC West shaping up this season? Which team has the best shot of taking down the Niners? So you got Kyler back. The Rams have like survived the desert, it feels like, even though they lose Aaron Donald. Seattle, they had Ryan Grubb as their offensive coordinator, which is interesting. They got skill guys, but Geno's their quarterback still. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the answer is the Rams as the team that has the best chance of taking down the 49ers. And maybe that's just the obvious pick, but I think Matthew Stafford is still really good. He's the best quarterback in the division. So if you have to make a decision based off that alone, I think that gives them a chance. But like I said, the thing about the Rams is, obviously losing Aaron Donald is massive. It's the best. Probably the best player in football for the last decade, regardless of position, outside of Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes anyway. And so I think that's a big thing, but I also think that team is really talented and they got a lot of young guys who are not just starting caliber players, but like I said, star caliber players. So they've got a chance, I think, to be really good. I think the Seahawks take the biggest step back. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be good. I like the hire of McDonald as their head coach. I just think that they are, talent wise are lacking a little bit. And I think they seem, and tell me what you think on this, guy. Don't they seem really wishy-washy about Geno Smith, about quarterback in general, about what they have at that position right now?
Yeah. I just, I mean, to me, he's clearly a player. His story is incredible, but there's a ceiling and right. We've seen it, and they're going to live in the middle ground until they find another franchise quarterback. So, now he's got, the one thing will be interesting is I think Ryan Grubb is a fantastic offensive coordinator. But he hasn't coordinated at this level. So that'll be unique. But a lot of guys make that jump now. So I think, but Geno for like half a year we've already had the Geno is tearing through the league year. He was at MVP for half a season, right? So
right.
I don't know. I don't think there's much more ceiling there. And as it relates to the Niners, he doesn't threaten them. Like they can beat him. So,
That's kind of how I see it. I think that team is probably They'll be competitive. I'm not saying they won't, because I'm with you. I like their coaching staff, but I'm just not sure roster-wise. The team that's interesting is Arizona, and you talk about a coordinator you really like. I like their offensive coordinator in Arizona, Petzig. That is a really smart guy who I think is on a fast track to being a head coach someday, so long as they can get him some talent, which I think they probably will do in this draft coming up here, get Kyler Murray some weapons, because they just don't have them. You know, Trey McBride is probably their best skill position guy outside of Kyler. Nothing against Trey McBride, but that's not exactly a feather in your cap. So I think that team is on the rise. They obviously, you know, didn't beat the Niners last year, but they were feisty a couple of times against them. So, but yeah, to me, it's the Rams. I think everybody else is probably a little bit of a notch below the Rams. I also still think, I think without Aaron Donald, the Rams are probably a little bit of a notch below the 49ers still as well. So they would, to me, that's still, the Niners are still the favorites in this division until somebody takes it from them.
Any other takes you got to get off your chest before I let you get on with your day?
I don't think so. I think I got, okay. I think I got my complaint about the way people view the draft out of the way. Mostly I just wish that, you know, I just wish, and it's not just fans. It's like teams do this too. Like I think certain teams are in position where it's okay to draft with a little bit more of an immediate focus, but the inability of teams to, and just people in general, to look at the draft as like, this is something that needs to feed our team for at least the next 4 years. It seems like it's gotten worse. I'll put it like that. And maybe just because the Jets are the big market team and everyone likes to talk about them and Aaron Rodgers is there and all that kind of stuff, maybe that's why it has particularly kind of stuck in my head this year. But I just can't imagine finally being in a position to get a top tackle that you can build around for a long time and taking a tight end. And again, nothing against Brock Bowers, who I think is a great player. He just plays tight end. Apologies to George Kittle and the tight end community. I'm not knocking their position. It's very important. I'm just saying that when you're up that high, I feel like premium positions always need to be, you know, kind of the focus, as long as the guys are relatively similar in talent level.
Well, you know, you made them. I said, do you have 20 minutes? You said, I got an hour. So now we're almost to an hour. So I appreciate it. So thank you.
I'm long-winded though. So that's on me.
But while we have just last thing, and then we'll conclude, which is, since you're a year ahead on the Ayuk and Debo, it can work thing. Is Brock Purdy getting a top of the line quarterback contract if he has another good year, or are they going to ask him to take a little bit less, or do you have a take on that right now?
Man, that's a great question. I don't have a firm take on that, but I'll say this. I think that there is a limit to what Brock Purdy probably would get because of all the things that people say about Brock Purdy to, I don't want to say denigrate, that's too strong a word, but to say that he's not the player who puts up the numbers he does, but the people who say that a lot of that is a function of the offense, of Kyle Shanahan, of the talent around him, I think that probably puts an artificial cap on what he could make. But also in saying that, he's worth more to the 49ers than he would be to another team. So I think there's probably a middle ground there of, you know, if he were to go and test the market, he would get a nice contract from somebody, but it wouldn't be as nice as the contract that he would get from the 49ers. And I just don't think either side would ever let it get to that point where he would test that, or that it would need to be tested. But if he stays healthy and puts up a year similar to what he did last year, I think he will cash in. I think that there will be a little bit of a tax, just for the idea of how underpaid he was for the last couple of years. And that's not anybody's fault in particular, except for maybe the people who negotiated the CBA. But like, that's just the reality of the situation. So there would probably be a little bit extra put on that. But do I think he would set a new high for quarterbacks? No, I don't. I don't think that would be part of the discussion. But I do think it would put him in the top, let's call it 7 or 8 paid quarterbacks in the league, somewhere in there.
All right, go read Nick right now. His latest article just up today at ESPN.com. Nick, thanks for making time, man. I appreciate it. This was fun, and I look forward to seeing you out at Levi Stadium soon.
You got it, bud. Good to see you. Take care.
All right. There is Nick Wagoner. And I asked him the other day, I said, "What is the O silent or not?" He said, "Yes, the O is silent, Nick Wagoner," right?
Yeah, and you just said the O just
I know.
Right before you did that.
I know.
Oh, this is your way of correcting it. I got it.
Yeah, I realized like I've said it wrong in my head for so long. Nick Wagner. All right, Nick, thanks.
There you go.
Okay, see you guys. There he goes. And I'll go ahead and I'm going to finish up here so Nick will be gone there. and thanks to Nick. Yeah, that was fun. I appreciate him taking so much time. Brad asked, how much longer is the voice going to be like this? I don't know, man. Getting better every day. Thank you for asking. Saw my vocal coach, Anna, again on Tuesday. And we're working through it. I'm working on some, I got some exercises. They gave me this straw. And, you know, I got some vocal exercises I do here. Boot, Woody, Lou, boot, boot, Bert, beat. So we're working through things and improving the voice every day. So, all right, Nick Wagner, there he goes. Thanks to Nick. Thanks to you. Share this, and we'll talk to everybody soon. Thanks for hanging out. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.